Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the account of the Transfiguration from St. Luke's Gospel, especially the statements that we hear made. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." This is our text. I don't have to tell you that life here below can be a bit of a slog. You already know it. Why, just this week, you've had the norovirus rip through your house again. Adultery destroyed a colleague's marriage and job. A friend has concerns that her pregnancy might not stick. Your checking account balance keeps shrinking while the price of eggs skyrockets. You're praying for multiple people who suffered sprains, breaks, and injuries from falls, and it's still bitterly cold. Some week. Wouldn't you love to leave this one behind? I wonder what Peter, John, and James wanted to leave behind as they ascended the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Maybe they're hoping to leave behind the unsettling words Jesus had just said to them. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." They probably wanted to forget that. Maybe they were glad to leave behind some of their fellow disciples. You know how it is. Other people can be such a pain. Maybe they're relieved to leave behind the crowds of hungry, sick, and suffering who seemed to follow Jesus everywhere he went. Maybe they're just hoping for a little bit of rest. I can tell you this, they aren't disappointed. What they encounter on the mountain is wonderfully glorious, and it is a rest and a break from everything they've been experiencing down below. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And look, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, those most famous Old Testament prophets. They appeared with Jesus in glory and spoke of his departure, of his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Heaven comes to earth. That's the first thing we notice about the transfiguration of Jesus. Heaven has come. And these three disciples witness the glory that belongs to our Lord from all eternity. We wonder, who is this on the mountain? And we see him as he is. He is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. The uncreated light shines in his face with all its brilliance, and it radiates from his clothing. They see Jesus for who he truly is. The Son of Mary is also the eternally and only begotten Son of God. Jesus is God in himself, fully and completely. And the saints there, Moses and Elijah, they are honoring him, and they are delighting in him, and they are bearing witness to him. And yet Jesus has a mission to accomplish on earth. He has a mission to accomplish down here in the slog and the grind. Because he is not only the eternally begotten Son of God, but he is also the promised Messiah, the Son of Man. And he has come to fulfill all that was spoken about him in the law and the prophets. He is the light but he is the light sent from the Father to give light to the world, to bring light into the darkness. What he talks about with Moses and Elijah is his mission of redemption. Luke is the only one who tells us. Luke is the only one who tells us about their conversation. Luke says that they were discussing his exodus. He means Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. Everything that is coming. Their heavenly conversation isn't just about glory. It's about his suffering and dying. It's about how our Lord will deliver his people, how he will deliver us from our slavery to sin, death, and the devil. He will lead them. He will lead us through our life here and into the life of the world to come. They talk about the cross. And I think that's so striking. You know, of all the things they'd be talking about in glory, of all the things that we'll be talking about in heaven with our Lord, you wouldn't think it would involve blood and suffering and death. But it does. Because heaven and earth speak of the glory of our God who came to suffer and die for us. Peter and John and James are glad to be there. They want to be with Jesus. They want to be with Moses and Elijah. And we want to be here too. And I say that we want to be here because we can't go to the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus shone in all his glory, but we can come to this place where we have a little transfiguration moment every single Sunday. We've tried to leave behind all those other things as we follow Jesus to this time and place of prayer. And on this mountain, in this hour and 15 minutes as we gather, Holy Scripture bears witness to his glory. It proclaims his transfiguration and his outshining as God. It reveals him as the Son of God, who came down from heaven and who, for us men and for our salvation, was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, the God who was made man. And on this mountain, we see our Lord face to face in a way. We have a communion with him here, greater in a sense even than what Moses and Elijah and Peter and John and James had on the mountain. For here Jesus is present in his holy body and his precious blood, and he puts them into our mouth. The light and the life of the world enters into you. The glory of that transfiguration, you might say, bottled up into bread and wine and given to you. And he shines on you and in you with his grace and his mercy. Consider for a moment the words that are said on that mountain. Peter's the first one who speaks. He kind of blurts out. I almost feel like he's maybe filling the space, one of those people who doesn't like silence. And so he's got to say something. And he says, "Master, it's good that we are here. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, there's something right about what Peter says. So let's give him credit for that. It is good to be with God. And it is good for them to be there with Jesus. And his words, when he says it is good, it reflects this deep longing that we have. This longing to go back. You remember, at least from the scriptures, what it was like. In the beginning, when God made the heavens and the earth, it was good. And then it was very good. And then in that very good, God was walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And Peter wants it to be like that again. And so do we. And then there are the words of Psalm 84. We spoke these in our intro it today, our entrance psalm. "My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." It is good to be with our God. And yet not everything that Peter says is good. I would say that there are two problems with the statement he makes. The first problem is with the number. He wants to make three tents. Now, I don't know where that would leave Peter and John and James. It seems to me like you would need six if you wanted to house everyone. But three, one for Jesus and one for Moses and one for Elijah, almost as if Moses and Elijah are equals of Jesus, as if they belong on the same level or they share the same nature. But the reality will be clear by the end. When we get to the end of this account of the Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah are gone, and there is only one standing there. Jesus was found alone. He is higher than and above Moses and Elijah. There is no one like him. In fact, you might remember that both Moses and Elijah in the Old Testament were known for going to the mountain of God and wanting to see God's face. They were told that they would not see God's face, but they could see his back. They could hear the proclamation of his mercy. And yet now, here on this mountain, Moses and Elijah finally have what they've been longing for. They see the very face of God. It's interesting as well for Moses, because you might remember that he died outside of the promised land. And the first time we see him in the promised land is here, with Jesus on the mountain. The second problem with what Peter says is the problem, the nature of what he proposes. He wants to make tents. What does that mean? It's almost like he wants to put a structure over the glory that Jesus has revealed and contain it and keep it there. He wants to prolong that moment forever. You know, why don't we just stay up here for a while? We'll build some tents. We can stick around. We can stay in this moment. We don't have to leave. We don't have to go down. He prefers to stay with Jesus here rather than for Jesus to go there. Peter acts as if the Transfiguration is the culmination, as if it's the full realization of the glory of God's kingdom. But you'll see that Jesus hasn't done everything he needs to do yet. The kingdom that comes in the Transfiguration is a kingdom that's revealed without the cross and before the cross. Peter is wrong. God will dwell with humanity in the way that he decides, and that way will only go through the suffering and death of the cross. And the glory of Jesus won't be contained on that mountain. The glory of Jesus will shine through the suffering and death of Jesus, and the glory of God will be seen in his dying to save sinners. And then the glory of God will come everywhere where his holy word and his precious sacraments are heard and given. Like right here. We don't have to go to the Mount of Transfiguration for Jesus to come to us in his glory. But he brings the glory of that mountain and the glory of his suffering and his dying. He brings it all to you today, right here, right where you are. The second voice that speaks on the mountain is the voice of the Father. It interrupts Peter. As Peter's saying, hey, I've got a great idea, let's build these three tents, this voice from heaven says, this is my Son, my chosen one. Peter will remember that voice forever. Years later, when he goes to write his second letter, he mentions it. He says, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. But then he says, we have something more sure, the prophetic scriptures. Who is Jesus? He is the Father's Son, the eternally begotten Son. And the voice makes that crystal clear. And yet at the same time, he is the chosen one. And you might say, chosen for what? Chosen to do the will of the Father. As the prophet Isaiah had spoken, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Chosen to do the Father's will. Chosen to be the suffering servant. Chosen not to remain high in glory above the sorrows and struggles of life on this earth, but chosen to go down the mountain and to enter into the slog of this life. The glory isn't for Jesus to keep. The glory is for him to bring down the mountain and to bring to his disciples and to bring to us, that we might enjoy his glory now and live with him in that glory forever. And finally, the Father says, listen to him. It's interesting. While the face is shining and the clothes are dazzlingly bright, the Father doesn't say, look at him. The Father says, listen to him. We are directed to Jesus' voice, to his words, to what he says. The glory that the disciples see has to give way to what they hear from Jesus. And what do they hear from Jesus? He just told the disciples how it will be. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Listening to him means listening to his predictions about the cross. It means seeking Jesus not outside of his suffering and death, not in some other glorious manifestation, but in his flesh being torn asunder on the cross. It means hearing his words and living by that, even when we see him beaten, bloodied, and disfigured. Suffering must precede glory. But these words also teach us to listen and hold on to everything that Jesus says. He is the very Word of God come in our human flesh. On another occasion, when people were leaving Jesus asked the disciples if they also wanted to leave. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Let these be the words that ring in our ears. Let them be the words that ring in our ears today and tomorrow as we return to the slog of life in this world, and on Wednesday and throughout the season of Lent as we consider the passion of our Lord, his suffering and death. This is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Remember this as you go through the difficulties and challenges of life here below. Remember the glory that he manifested on that mountain, and then remember the glory that he showed by dying and rising for you. The Transfiguration unveils for us the glorious Son. The glorious Son in the glory of that mountain and in the glory of his cross. For he has come to do this glorious work, to save sinners, and to give you his forgiveness, life, and salvation. And he has it for you again today, right here and right now. And this is the joy that Jesus brings us. We don't need to go find some mountain to climb and see Jesus in his glory. He manifests that glory to us now, a glory that he brings that we might be transfigured as well, that our sins might be purged away, that we might walk in the newness of life, and that we might come to the day when we see him face to face. Our weeks may be challenging. We may find our lives difficult at times. But it is the glory that Jesus shows and the glory that he gives, the glory of his kingdom, that gives meaning to your life and mine, even today and tomorrow and in the days to come. You have a glimpse of this glory now, the glory of his forgiveness, the glory of his life and salvation, the glory that he shines on you so that it can shine in you and through you. And here is the thing for you to do As you remember these words, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen one, listen to him. Make known what you have seen and heard. Testify to the glory that has been revealed. Lead a life in keeping with the glory that he has shown, knowing that he is taking us from one glory to another. The glory of this altar, this pulpit, this font, this lectern, to the glory that awaits in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.